All right, let's do a show. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective, and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, lady bikes.
That's right. And we're here.
And saddle libraries.
That's right. Yeah. We're here with Gladys from Gladys Bikes. We're not. Has anybody done that before?
Ever called me Gladys?
Yes.
No, okay. You're the first.
Oh, okay.
We're here with Leah Benson.
You kind of had this blank look like, did they get my name wrong?
I was rolling that over my head today, wondering if it was a good idea, if it would actually be a good thing to say.
It was a good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Leah Benson, thank you for joining us. I'm going to say your name 100 times now so people don't confuse you with the name
Leah
of your
Benson,
shop.
Leah Benson, Leah Benson.
It's okay. I think I kind of look like a Gladys. It works.
Yeah, Gladys Bikes up on North Williams Avenue. And we're going to talk all about your shop in just a couple of minutes. So thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're also enjoying some beverages. We have Hop Valley tonight, the Alphadelic IPA, which I don't know what that means, and the Vanilla Infused Porter. And what do you have there?
Oh, I've got something unique here.
Yeah, you do. It's in an aluminum can.
I'm trying this for the first time. Uh-huh. This is coconut juice, which I have had, but this has jelly in it.
It's wild.
Wow, jelly in a can.
I can't open
with
the can.
Okay, and it's really difficult to get into. Go. Not for the faint of finger. All right. That was a nice sound capture there. Does the jelly enhance the coconut milk? Or is it juice? Or is that the same thing?
No, it's juice.
Okay.
Coconut milk is processed.
Oh, I see.
With the, like,
the
meat.
Because they have to put lactic acid into it. But they don't.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I don't manufacture coconut milk.
You have never been in the plant when it's been expelled and expressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't bad. This is, the jelly's kind of weird.
Well.
Like, it's more of a texture, though.
Is it like
it doesn't
tea?
Taste any different. Yeah. Yeah, I would compare it to that.
Okay. Oh, good times.
Phone's ringing,
that's,
dude.
Yeah. Do you mind hanging that up for me?
Just hit the
just hit that. There we go. All right. Fantastic. And we're professionals. We're on the radio. I did a really exciting thing. I did a couple of exciting things this weekend. One of them. That's really weird.
I'm just impressed you have a landline.
Adele. Try again.
Well, you know. Thank you. We appreciate that. Many thanks to Adele for pulling the phone. Yes. You're listening to us on X-Ray FM 91.1.
Unless you're streaming this from the web.
And then you're not, yeah. So, I took a trip by bus, finally, up to Mount Hood this last weekend.
You've been talking about this for a while.
We've been excited about the possibility. Yeah. And, the thing is, there has never been a really good transit connection to Mount Hood. Because everyone wants to go up there for winter recreation. You want to go up and snowboard and ski and toboggan, I'm sure. Snowshoe.
Yeah. Those
Make
of us
snow
without
angels.
Cars...
Right.
A little difficult.
Yeah.
Like, unless you've got friends with cars.
Yeah, unless it's
so
like
those
the one
of us
week.
Without cars and without friends, we're kind of up shit creek.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And so the good thing is that now there's a bus that runs really predictably 363 days a year. They don't run on Thanksgiving. They don't run on Christmas. But every other major holiday that people might have off from work, you can take this bus up to Mount Hood. And it's really exciting. It's a three, if you're coming from Portland, it's a three transfer system at least. Like, you hop on the MAX to Gresham, you hop on the next bus to Sandy, and then the seamless transfer is ensured from the Sandy bus to the Mount Hood Express. And the Mount Hood Express, that's a sexy bus. It's got the old, slanty windows from the 60s.
Okay.
It looks like an old rig.
A modern bus, but with, like, kind of a retro style?
I think it's a vintage bus.
Oh, no kidding.
And I don't know exactly how vintage. I was trying to figure out, but I also didn't want to be, like, the one dude that, there was already a dude that was, like, asking a bunch of transit questions, which normally that would be me.
Like, talking to the driver as
yes.
the driver's, oh,
yes.
okay.
Normally that would be me, but I didn't want to overwhelm the driver. And also, when I see the transit dude asking transit questions, I'm like, oh, that's me, and it doesn't look as cool as I thought it did. So, you know. But we went up for just a couple of hours. Adele brought her cross-country skis. I'm not much of I'm an outdoor enthusiast, but I don't ski or snowboard. I don't really care for the snow sports at all, actually. But I do like travel, and I do like finding a neat little coffee shop up there in the hills. And so I did. What's the place called? There's a great little cafe you can go up and hang out in. They have Wi-Fi, and they have sandwiches. They have beers. You can get basically anything you want. It's a coffee shop up in the mountain in the Ski Bowl East, I believe. But Government Camp Village.
Sure.
Fantastic area. And all this for the round trip cost of $11.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. All day TriMet pass, $1 in the Sam, $2 in the Mountain Express, two ways. So, yeah, works
really
out pretty
good.
Well.
Yeah.
I highly recommend anybody. And I believe I saw, I think there was a picture up on the internet of Esther and Timo and their friend Carolyn, I think, all went up and did that last weekend. And I was jealous. And then we did it.
And so you, damn you, Timo.
Right, right. As I say every day. I don't. But it was really
cool.
Yeah,
careful. He listens to this.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, we love you, Timo. No, it's great just to know that that exists. And now that I've road tested it and know that it works, the biggest thing I was worried about was the transfers because the time points, if you read the schedules, and this gets super nerdy, I apologize, the time points are stated exactly the same. Like, apparently, you know, one bus arrives, the next one leaves at exactly the same time point. And if they coordinate it and they're working together, that's really good. If they're not working together, you know, especially in the city, if that's how the timetables work out, you could get off one bus and watch the other one roar away.
Right.
And then you have to wait for like half an hour or something. So this one is coordinated and you can do it.
That's pretty sweet.
Almost seamlessly.
Well, I'm going to have to try this now.
Yeah. So the other guy who was asking the transit questions was asking the first driver about it. And the first driver was actually kind of like making fun of him for not knowing that they connected.
Oh, really?
It seemed like possibly bad customer service. He also seemed like maybe he was just a good-natured smart-ass guy, but okay. He got more of the smart-ass than the good-natured. So anyways, I don't know his name. I don't know his operator number, and sure. I'm not going to try and get him in trouble.
Nah.
Yeah. So anyways, there was that. Then I took a big bike ride, 60-mile ride onto Sauvie Island yesterday. And
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wonderful place, yeah. Leah, do you go out to Sauvie?
To Sauvie? Yeah. I think it was my first long bike ride ever in Ireland. Yeah. Yeah. Once I moved here, realizing that you could get out there by bike was like a revelation to me.
Seriously. Well, it's just close enough to do a long day ride, too. Mm-hmm. And it's farther out than it seems, right? Like, especially if you're coming from somewhere that's not St. John's. It's like, I don't know, 20 miles just to get to the island or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, it seems closer, but that's because I've always lived in North Portland, I think. So
right,
it's been pretty
right.
accessible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh, well, you're lucky then.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We did that last year, right, as a group, and it ended up being close to 50.
Something like that. I think, yeah, for us, it ended up being almost exactly 60 miles. And it's a good pre.
Oh, 60.
Yeah, because Aaron, you and I are doing some bike touring, as far as we know.
We got to get ready for this.
Yeah, totally. Looking forward to hopping on the Coast Starlight, heading down to San Francisco and riding to San Luis Obispo through Big Sur.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which it's been a long time since I've done anything out of the Northwest. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it's been a long time since you've done any bike touring. I was going to get on your back for that.
No,
don't even talk about like not being able to bike tour with me.
I try and keep from saying things like that because it's wrong.
Because it's been a long time since I've done any touring, and I'm quite bitter about it.
Yeah, well, it's about time. So yes. We're going to make this happen. And our friend Trent is down there. We're going to try and connect with him and maybe camp out with him and maybe eat at his restaurant. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Hey, let's talk about Gladys Bikes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Since you're here.
As long as I'm on the couch.
How long has Gladys Bikes been around, Leah?
Oh, not long. We opened in October of 2013, so that makes it 4 or 5 months, something like that.
Okay, yeah, there was a big media splash when you opened because you cater specifically to women, correct?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that stood out about the shop initially is that, so we're a female-focused shop, and which means that when people walk through the door of the shop, the primary goods that are there are meant to cater to women. That said, we're equally friendly to everyone that's walking through.
And so you've been to all genders.
Yeah, to all genders. Exactly. I think I talk about a lot in terms of the female-friendly sex shop model a lot.
Uh-huh.
Shebop. Shebop, Portland.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And not too far from your location. Right?
Not too far from my location at all. And I think that they do a great job of taking something that's traditionally seen as being uncomfortable to walk into for a pretty large part of the population and making it a really comfortable space to go to. And they call out saying that it's a female-friendly place in order to do so. But really, once you get in there, it makes sense for everyone.
Okay. Gotcha. It's just it's a more reasonable approach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to think so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what is it that sets Gladys Bikes apart from the other shops? Well, like, what would you notice if you walked in? Because I'm a white male, and so I probably will not pick up on these things.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, granted I'm not the most masculine of men, but I didn't feel particularly, I don't know, threatened when I walked in. So
that's good. That's good. Yeah. That's not the goal.
Excellent.
I'd say the things that set us apart are a pretty deep knowledge of how people's bodies work on bikes and don't work on bikes a lot of times.
Right on.
There are two things that we were kind of going for in starting a women-focused shop. And the first one was creating an atmosphere that was really welcoming when you walked into, where you don't feel like you have to know certain things or be able to bro down in order to talk about bikes or to ride a bike. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just got off a 60-mile ride. It was nothing.
Oh, no. That's like scratching the surface of broing down.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing was having a knowledge about how different people's bodies work on bicycles. Most bicycle parts and complete bicycles are designed with like a standard European man in mind, which means that they don't fit quite everyone as they should.
Right.
And that means that a lot of women especially have complaints about it not just feeling good when they get on their bike or having a saddle that just is completely, utterly uncomfortable. And having the knowledge to be able to get people on a bike that they want to be on comfortably is one of the things that I think we do pretty well.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Did you have experiences that prompted you to make a shop in this fashion? What did you have, like, a particularly bad bro-downing experience?
Who did it? Who hurt you?
Who broed me down? Well, my brother worked at a bike shop. That's like the ultimate broing down. I don't know. I think it was just a collective disappointment with quite a few different shops in town.
Right.
Collective disappointment in my own experience, and then talking to other women and other friends of mine in general, and just realizing like there's kind of a space for a place that more explicitly
almost
calls
definitely
it. Yeah,
and the industry as a whole, I think historically has been really male oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the past, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years getting maybe more open to those things, but it's still like as an industry has a long ways to go, I think. And so something like your shop is really filling a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, because I think the more people that I talk to about all this, the more nods that I see.
Uh-huh,
like, if I talk about, like, broing down in bike shops once again, just like you guys, everyone's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. There's kind of the secret code that you walk in. You're supposed to know certain things. This is not to say that most bike shops are bad. Most people that work at shops are absolutely lovely.
Sure.
It's
not their fault. It's just kind of an ingrained behavior.
Exactly. The culture just ends up popping up sometimes.
Or ingrained assumptions.
Yeah, and I think that happens in just about any industry. Like, for instance, it's the same if you walk into a guitar shop.
Right,
people become
so
ingrained in what they're doing that sometimes it's easy to forget that not everyone is at that same level of knowledge or passion.
Right. Not everyone can play Stairway.
Yeah, I can't yet.
You don't need to.
Right. It's overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what the bicycle shop equivalent of Stairway would be.
Yeah, what would that?
If you know, write
it
in.
Yes, write us.
Yeah. TheSprocketPodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. What's your experience in bikes? You've worked in shops for a while, and you were telling us before we started recording that you did some volunteering.
Yeah. So I don't have an extensive background working in bike shops. I volunteered for quite a long time at the Community Cycling Center working on bikes. Previous to opening this shop, however, I worked for Oregon Tradeswomen, which is an organization that does education and advocacy for women going into building and construction trades and just non-traditional jobs for women in general.
Okay.
Oh, dick.
Yeah, it was really awesome. So I helped there coordinating some of their political advocacy locally and nationally. And I think there I learned a lot about gender politics and the ways in which our society and our business industry serves and does not serve women or people who don't identify as male more broadly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think through that, it made me think more about this broad idea about women. And bikes have always been kind of a side passion project of mine. And I decided a couple of years ago that it was time for me to branch outside of nonprofit work. And Yeah, and then it all came together. The stars aligned.
Nice.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
And those are good stars to line up.
Yeah.
What got you into bicycling? I assume probably as a child you had one. Mm-hmm. What made it stick into adulthood, or did you like rediscover?
I think I rediscovered, like a lot of people, when I went to college.
Okay.
I went to school in Madison, Wisconsin. I didn't have a car while I was there. And it was just easier to get around in the summer, not so much the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear it's a good town for that, though.
It is. It's a really good town for it. It's very different than riding in Portland, which mm-hmm. I like a lot. The infrastructure just looks completely different. And also for half of the year, it's not really visible even.
Right,
Because of the snow. But so it was about then that I rediscovered it, I think. And through adulthood, I've lived in cities, urban areas. I grew up in a really small town. But realizing that I think riding a bike is the best way to get around an urban area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And Madison has that, it's not an isthmus, or is it? What do they call it? It's like there's two lakes and there's a strip of land in between.
It's the isthmus.
Is it? Okay.
It's a really hard word to say. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like the narrow strip between two large bodies of water.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the most of the town is kind of focused on that
on
point. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy from criticaltransit.com, he had... he'd spent some time there on his epic transit journey across America, and he did some reporting, I believe, from Madison. I cannot remember. I think there was also... Oh, but I can't talk about it yet.
Oh.
In Film by Bike, I think there might be something from Madison, but I could be wrong. Anyways, that's all. Yeah.
Brock is contractually obligated to no longer talk about Wisconsin.
Right, right. Well, in April, Film by Bike is coming, and it's going to be good. So show up there.
And it might have something to do with Wisconsin.
There might be something. Yeah, there's definitely something about Wisconsin. I can't remember if it's Madison or not. But your entry fee will tell you the truth. I'm curious. What would you what would you recommend to traditional bike shops? Like, obviously you have a thing going where you're working very actively to create an environment that is open to other people besides the bros. What would you recommend to shops that are more traditionally in line with the bro attitude?
I think my advice would be far from novel, which is really just to ask your customers what they're looking for a lot of times. Which is harder to do than it sounds, to create a space where it's comfortable for people to say how you're not serving them.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's possible if people are willing to listen. I think one of the things that might be true with bike shops is that they are asking their customers, you know, what they want. But the customers who have decided they don't have what they want have already like voted with their dollars and feet and gone elsewhere. Uh-huh. If that makes sense.
Sure.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a hard equation because I also don't want to say that all shops should do exactly what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that most shops in town are succeeding and doing well because they provide an awesome service. And I think they should just continue to do what works for them.
Right. And I guess there are so many niches to fill, especially in this town. Like, this is a really bike-friendly town, so it's easy for a shop to specialize. In some towns, you would go to a bike shop and it would be like the only one within a 100-mile radius. And, you know, they do what they can.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I guess it makes sense that, yeah, you everyone does what they can. But you're talking about identifying the needs of the customer as opposed to trying to tell the customer what their needs are.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's such a nice way of putting it.
Is that, is it anything like, it's been a while since I've been at the Apple store. Is it something like that? Because I feel like Apple did a big shift with their retail thing where like they took the pressure off and made it more of like, here's a showroom and you can play with the toys and, you know. And one of our geniuses will tell you, you know, we're here to help and you tell us what you want. Is it anything like that, you think, or is that...
I've actually never been to an Apple store. But
okay.
That sounds good.
I was going to say, this could really highlight nice. Like my ignorance of the Apple store.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not too techie.
Really? They do that over there?
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's a big difference from how it was back in the day. And actually, I was just thinking earlier that tech is one of those industries that... there was some writing about how it's really... There's a lot of misogyny going around in tech as well. And I forget who wrote that. But it was,
Could it be that there's just a lot of misogyny going around?
There could be.
And it's coming to light as all these other industries are cutting out their niches and, other things?
I think it's that there's a lot of misogyny going on and it's coming out and that fortunately it seems to be dissipating in some industries. Yeah, and you don't see it as often. And so the places where it persists just become more and more glaringly obvious.
Automobiles.
There is that. Yeah. Well, one of the things that you've got going is a saddle library.
Yeah.
And I think my wife was talking about how it was too late for her because she already has her saddle. But I'm assuming you offer memberships to this saddle library to people who already have saddles. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you file them by the Dewey Decimal System too?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I'm working with a friend right now who's actually a librarian.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'm super excited about this figure out our cataloging system for saddles. She said that Dewey Decimal won't actually work.
Okay.
For reasons that I can't remember well enough to articulate right now.
That's okay.
Yeah, but she has better ideas for how you can create a library cataloging system for saddles.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I am really
and here
excited.
I was just being a smartass.
Yeah.
But the library of sciences are all about finding ways. It's about taxonomy.
Yeah, taxonomy.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got a system in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so cool. How does it work?
Yeah.
So the way that it works is anyone can come in, whether or not you have a saddle, and you put $25 as a down payment, and then you can check out any saddle that you would like for 1 week. And you can take out an innumerable amount of saddles. And then if you decide to buy a saddle, the $25 goes directly towards the price of whatever saddle you buy.
Oh, nice.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so you check out a saddle. Is that the saddle that you are going to buy then?
Or? No, we have a demo fleet of all of them.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So you're not getting spoiled merchandise.
No, no, definitely not. Yeah, and those of us that work in the shop are pretty knowledgeable about what saddles tend to work with which kinds of bodies and bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to think we're pretty good at making recommendations so that people don't have to go through like dozens and dozens of saddles before finding the right one.
Yeah, and I would assume that not one saddle fits everyone. Like, as you were saying, everyone has their own individual needs. So what would I look for if I was like, what should I know about myself before I go looking for a saddle?
Well, I think the three most important things when you're talking about saddles are the intent of your ride. Like, so are you riding a bike to, like, get around a city to commute? Are you riding a bike to, like, be really fast? Are you on a road bike, you know? And or are you going for a tour that you're going to be in the saddle for, like, long days where you maybe want some cush? So once you figured out that, usually the intent of your ride helps dictate the type of bike you're going to be riding too. So if you're riding around the city, a lot of people like to be a little bit more upright.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that with your saddle to handlebar relationship. What we mean by that is how far above or below the saddle your handlebars are. So when you're sitting more up, more of your butt is on the saddle.
Right.
So you typically want a wider saddle. And if you're more forward, like in an aggressive road position, you want like a narrower one. So knowing that. Like, you know, how your handlebar to saddle relationship looks. And then finally, the thing that probably matters the most is your personal anatomy.
Okay.
There are some little, I guess, like things that help us along the way in terms of saying if you're a man, men typically have a deeper pelvis.
Okay.
And that means that saddles tend to be longer for men because you have more space when you're leaning over before you're like hitting the nose of the saddle.
Ah.
Yeah. And also men tend to have narrower sit bones. So saddles for men tend to be longer in the nose and narrower in the rear.
Okay.
And for women, they tend to make saddles that are the exact opposite.
Right.
But that said, some women have like really wide sit bones and really deep pelvises. And some men have shallow pelvises, narrow sit bones. And so that's why we do the saddle library. It's because there are only so many things that you can like write down and say like, okay, according to all of this, I should have that saddle.
Right.
But then there are so many other like little personal factors and little factors of anatomy that add up to mean that
it's not like you could like take a few measurements and like,
Here
you go, according to this mathematical equation.
Yeah, there's no beautiful calculus behind it. A lot of it is just experiential, which I kind of like because there are so few things where we're told that you just need to try it and figure out what feels good.
Sure.
There's not a right.
Yeah, and for most of the history of the existence of the bicycle saddle, I don't know of too many places where you could try one out. There are not too many retailers that are offering that kind of a service.
You know, I think that quite a few do offer something similar, but I don't think it's a cornerstone of a lot of people's business.
Okay.
It's something that we've chosen to focus on because as I was kind of putting together a business plan and having a lot of discussions with different people from the area, it was something that came up time and time again as a concern, as a barrier of keeping people off of bicycles because they couldn't find something that was comfortable to sit on.
Right.
Which, yeah, it's...
Yeah, that makes sense. If you're not comfortable sitting on the bike,
you're probably not going to ride it.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and this is also like the very common story of people who oftentimes say a married couple, a man and a woman, where they get like matching bikes or something like that because they're just recently retired and this will be a fun thing to do together.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy gets a bike he loves and the lady gets a bike that...
she
he loves.
Really,
yeah. And it doesn't really work out. And so like one person will ride it a ton and the other person will not. And there's never much more thought put into it than that. And so it's nice to think that we could kind of tilt that equation a bit more and that people could have more personal ownership of the things that they get for personal mobility. I use the B67 from Brooks. Mm-hmm. And I like that one because I like the springs for one, because I like to ride without shorts.
That's the one with the wider bag,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. And I'm not sure how my sit bones compare to other men's sit bones. I've never really done a comparison. But I do like having enough support for them.
Sure.
So that I don't have to worry about like wearing padded shorts for a long ride. And most of my touring, I remember my first long, long tour was down the West Coast with Adele, and we ended up down in San Diego.
This was before the Brooks.
This was before the Brooks, yes. And I had a saddle with gel packs in it or whatever, and it's really comfortable on the short term. But when you tour on one of those things, I found that the gel almost acts as like a heat battery.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just holds all the hot air from the day and the hot air from yourself and the body heat that you're putting into it. And not like I got burned by it or anything, but it was just like it became uncomfortable because it wasn't really helping dissipate any of my body heat. I remember like ending up with terrible bruises at the end of that trip, and I had a great time. It was a great trip, but I also looked into a new saddle immediately mm-hmm. after. I was like, I need to find something better. And I could have worn padded shorts, but I really like the utility thing of like being able to wear my regular clothes whenever. Do you lean one way or the other with that? I mean, obviously
with padded clothing.
Yeah.
I don't judge. I think is the main thing. I think that there's a time and a place for wearing Lycra and padded shorts, mm-hmm. and there's a time and a place where maybe you don't want to, and those times and places are different for different people.
Right.
It's like such a politician's answer, but I honestly
right.
believe
no, that's yeah. totally okay.
Yeah.
I try really hard not to judge. I've spent a lot of time making fun of Lycra, and I feel like it's bad
yeah.
politics.
Well, I think because once you get far enough on either side, you know, you kind of like meet in the middle once again. Like my brother did a cross-country bike trip. He rode out to Portland from Wisconsin, and it was his first bike tour ever, and he didn't know anything about bike touring, and so he just went into a shop, and he's like, what do I need? And so they sold him like a brand new top-of-the-line touring bike. They sold him like tons of pairs of padded shorts. He got clipless pedals. He got all of this stuff and did it, and it was a fine tour for him, but as he started getting more and more engaged with bicycles and figuring out what actually worked for him, he then did the same tour from Portland back to Wisconsin. And on the one from Portland back to Wisconsin, he chose he was going to wear his Adidas Sambas.
There you
with,
go.
Yeah,
that
no,
is.
Aaron's no clips.
Shoes of choice.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, he wore like cutoff jeans and he wore a Pendleton wool shirt the entire time.
Oh, that's my shirt of choice.
Yeah. And then he realized halfway through that it was kind of just as absurd as being like kitted out the entire time, because he was clearly trying to prove something
right, right.
about how little gear he needed.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. I should talk to him. I feel like we probably have similar experiences. Yeah. And similar, chagrin-ings? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Being chagrined. Yes. That sounds very familiar.
Yeah. I think it's a good way to go. It's more my style.
Right, right. So you, yeah. Do you do any racing? Have you...
Any racing?
Yeah,
no, I don't. I have a lot of respect for people who do. I just don't have it in me.
That's okay.
Honestly, do you guys?
No.
Informally, you like to race, but you do it in your jeans.
Right, yeah. I like to ride fast,
yeah.
certainly. Yeah. But, yeah, and I do it. I don't wear like anything that is specifically geared towards bike. Philosophically speaking, I'm adverse to anything that I can't just wear normally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if that means like I walk around in a spandex shirt for a day, which I've done,
right.
then I'll do that.
And you look good in it, so it works out okay.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The competition thing doesn't work for me because, you know, once I begin to get competitive and there is that streak in me, it kind of ruins riding for me. I no mm-hmm. longer enjoy riding. You know, I'm not doing it because I like it. I'm doing this to like beat the other person. And, you know, I could go to therapy for this or something, but like, you know, there's an aspect of friendly competition that I know a lot of people who race, they just do it because they love to race, and it's
right.
not about like being the best or anything like that. I don't have that in me. It's either kind of like an all or nothing
mm-hmm.
right.
kind of thing for me.
I mean, yeah. it also could be that I'm just like, maybe not that fast. Perhaps if I was naturally talented and I was just like beating everyone, I would love racing because winning's cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it feels great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find I like to challenge myself. Like that's why I enjoy bicycle travel for at least part of the reason is that, you know, you get to go out and experience distances that you didn't think you could do and conditions you didn't think you were prepared for. And if you went like 60 miles uphill in the rain one day, you're like, hey, I think I beat myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. I don't really enjoy competition with other people to the point where, like, I don't even really play like board games or anything. But again, it depends on who you're playing board games with or who you're racing bicycles against. There's a fun way to do it, and there's a mean way to do it. So I guess, yeah, I try to avoid the mean ones. But I also like the cyclocross scene intrigues me. I'd like to try that someday.
Yeah.
The idea of like a bike obstacle course is pretty awesome.
Yeah, right? Yeah, totally.
And the fact that you're just going to be covered in mud by the end of the race.
Exactly.
Well, it seems like it's almost as much about the culture as it is about the race.
Yeah.
It's about going there and hanging out and grabbing a beer and watching other people ride bikes and getting covered in mud.
Yeah, like, beer and mud and cowbells. I can get behind that. Yeah, and what was it? What's the team that rides in jorts?
Look Good, Feel Good?
Look Good, Feel Good. That's it.
That's my friend's team.
Is it?
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Nice.
One of the dudes from Thunder Island Brewing who we... Uh-huh.
That's right. Yeah.
Rides for them.
Yeah. They're great. They're like the anti-team team.
Right. Yeah.
But again, they're one of those groups that's like going to the other side of like proving a point.
Like, we're going to look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And looking ridiculous can look good sometimes.
Yeah.
That's how I choose my own personal style. So what else besides saddles? What else is specific to a person's own physical geometry? Like what else do you look at when you're helping someone get into a bike?
The other big thing that we end up confronting a lot, because we have so many women walking through the door, is stem length. So a lot of top tubes of bicycles are made, once again, with like a typical male's anatomy in mind, which means that men tend to have longer torsos than women and also longer arms. So a lot of women end up on bikes where they're like stretching incredibly far and incredibly uncomfortably in order to make it fit. And women and smaller people in general. And so one thing that we end up doing a lot actually is swapping out stems and handlebars so that it's a shorter reach for people.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of people, there have been people that walk in that just look like they're basically laying down on the bike.
Right.
Because it's so far out for them. And I think... people don't realize, as they shouldn't, that all these parts are kind of interchangeable. I have a friend that describes bikes as kind of like adult Legos. And that, yeah, you can take anything apart. You can put
that.
Different things there. Yeah, but unless you know how to take them apart, like, it's reasonable to assume like that if you buy it one way, it has to stay that way.
Right, right.
Right. Yeah, and I guess that's like you're compensating for a frame. You can't change the frame as easily, but you can change the components to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any horror stories about bicycles gone horribly wrong that you were able to fix or correct?
You know, ask me in a year. I
think
5 months in, fortunately, I don't have any horror stories.
Right. Yeah. Well, so, I guess that means at least the circumstances are not maybe as bad as they could be.
No.
Which is good.
No one's dying out there.
You're also located kind of in... is it either in the middle of the building or you're not like right on the street front, right?
I'm like hidden.
Yeah. How is
I'm
that?
I'm like in an alleyway. It's interesting. You know, when I first moved in there, I was curious to see how it would be if anyone would walk back there. But honestly, so I'm in the same building as Tasty and Sons, which is so ridiculously popular and has such a long wait that I think people just like tend to walk up and down the hallway while they're waiting for brunch and find me that way. So it's like tons of free advertising. Tasty and Sons
right
just getting people my way.
Right. The brunch scene in Portland is actually, people should probably leverage that more. Because there's tons of people just standing around with nothing to do.
Buy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think that's, we'll file that away. That's a freebie for anyone that wants to take that tack.
Yeah, great advice.
What else do you like about Portland specifically?
Oh, I love that it feels like a sprawling small town.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it gets a lot of flack for not being a real city, which it's not. And I hope that it never becomes one. Like, I think that's not why I live here.
Yeah.
I live here for the small neighborhoods, and I live here because no matter where I am and what part of the city, on any given day, I run into at least one person that I know randomly. It feels small enough that I'm constantly seeing people. That's my favorite part about it. Not like... some of the more absurd aspects I love and I appreciate. But when it comes down to it, it's the community that's cultivated through it.
Totally. Yeah, it's I guess between Seattle and Portland, for example, like just comparing those two cities, because they're similar enough to get comparisons and many people would draw those comparisons. But Seattle is a full maritime port city, and Portland also has a port, but it's not like I don't think of Portland as being as international as Seattle is. Yeah. So yeah,
all
it really
does
have
sort
the
of tucked away too. It's,
right, right.
Well, and also I tend to judge cities, I think, by their skyline and skyscrapers specifically. Yeah. For whatever reason, I think, like, I grew up, my family is originally from Chicago, and Chicago's got like tons of skyscrapers.
Yeah.
So when I think of a city, I'm like, yeah, that's what it
exactly.
is. Exactly. Yeah, and the tallest building in Portland is Big Pink.
Right.
Which, you know.
Which
kind of dwarfed by
yeah.
anything in
exactly.
Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. It only looks tall because it's not like there's nothing else around it that's tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're from Chicago, like, you know, nobody else knows from skyscrapers. Like, that's the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever stand on that the glass bottomed thing on the, is it the Willis Tower now, they call it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say the
that's
Sears
right.
Tower,
they extended the floors.
Yeah.
And then they made
I
it
did,
glass.
Yeah. I one time when I was like, I don't know, in elementary school.
Is that freaky?
As a child, I didn't think it was. Okay. As an adult who has a little bit more fear instilled in me, I probably would think it's terrifying.
There's that, kids playing with Legos up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kids are just like, whatever. There's
seriously.
The sky below me.
Yeah. Or if you're in that Gangnam Style parody from Amtrak, the dude
oh,
does
yes.
a dance, I think, on...
On that glass?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
at one point
that.
In there. Have you? Oh, it's...
I'm getting heart palpitations just thinking of him doing that
yes,
on the glass.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say it's great, but I'm not sure if Gangnam Style itself was great, like...
I think it qualifies.
Traditionally.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think it's entertaining.
Yeah. Well,
I guess,
absurdist. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I kind of go for that. So, yeah, definitely. Where do you like to ride around here? Like, if you had a whole day to go out somewhere and you could leave the city, for example, where would you go?
I don't know. I feel like I try to go new places all the time.
Okay.
The most commonality between the places I tend to ride is I really like hills. Going up them.
Really?
Not going down them so much. I'm really slow at descending, but I'm great at climbing.
Nice.
So anytime I can get out of the city and go for a long ride, I'm always looking for a hill to go up.
That's
these
nice,
are
yeah.
the opposite reasons why I like
hills. Yeah.
What's a good hill in mind? Like one that you climbed and felt good about?
Well, the one that I climb most recently and probably do most often is Rocky Butte.
Okay. Yeah.
It's so quick and it's accessible and, you know, it's just fun. It's like really quick satisfaction. Then you're done. I can still go to work by like 9.
Yeah. And none of the approaches to Rocky Butte are particularly steep. Like, it's a long climb, but
yeah.
it's not like, the grade is not so fiercely steep that it's demoralizing.
No, it's not awful.
Yeah. It's just a long ride. If you kind of buckle in and go for it, you get up there at the top, you see some nice scenery and then you roar down the other side. And there's
that's
a tunnel up. On one of the roads, which
yeah.
I enjoy.
Which is just cool.
Yeah, exactly. I think I prefer going downhill through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Cause going uphill through a tunnel, that's less fun. Cause if anybody shows up behind you, like in a motor vehicle or something, then you feel like you're holding them up or they might not see you and you're worried that
they're going to
bump
you
in the back or yeah, exactly. So downhill through
well,
tunnels.
And if it's a nice day, you're probably not riding with your lights on.
Right. Yeah. Well,
and
usually during,
as you go through the tunnel, it pays to have your lights on, but
totally.
You won't necessarily have them.
Well, yeah, that's why I roll with a dynamo hub.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, a funny thing happened the other day with my dynamo hub because I was walking, I was pushing my bike down the sidewalk. I was going to a friend's house and there was a guy walking towards me. It was just like right after nightfall, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was like 6 o'clock or something. The sun had just gone down and the guy was walking toward me with his hand out in front of his face, like blocking my light. I was trying to figure out what he was doing. And then he was like, man, that light is hella bright.
Whoops.
And I realized, oh yeah. So then I put my glove over the light because I think I need to get like a sock or something I could just bring along. Either that or I guess I could unplug the wires, but yeah.
That seems too complicated.
It does.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sock sounds way better.
If there was an iPhone app that would turn off my dynamo light, that would be a
or
simple
if
solution.
Or an iPhone could just somehow be converted into a light.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wasn't there one of those, there was like an app back in the day that was like the bike light app and like you would download it and put it in, I guess, in your like translucent pocket and it would like blink red. The
really?
Whole screen would blink red. Yeah, but it seemed
no.
like it would drain your batteries and it wouldn't be particularly effective.
And if it rained, you were just screwed.
Right, right. Yeah this is a very like single-purpose solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds good, though. If they ever come out with a better solution, I would probably buy it.
Yeah. Where do you fall on the whole technology spectrum? Do you like smartphones and things? Or do you abhor them?
I've like begrudgingly accepted them, I think. I spent a lot of time like holding back from getting them. And I got my first smartphone last year around this time.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Oh, never mind.
I've become so attached to it. Like, the fact that I can see my email on my phone means that I'm constantly checking it.
Ah.
Which, you know, it's nice because I'm getting back to people really quickly, but I'm, like, so attached to everything.
Right, right.
Yeah. It also means you're always at work, I suppose, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One way or another.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I've accepted the smartphone as a part of my life, but I still mock myself for how attached to it I am.
Okay, yeah. It's a weird relationship to kind of chase down. I've tried to find a way for it to be useful. I was actually thinking about that just today.
Yeah.
Like, a way for you to use the tool without the tool using you or something like that.
What'd you come up with?
Put it away when you're done with it. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Was like, because so many times, like, I'll be like reading my email, and then I'll like go and like read some blogs, and then I'll Twitter a bit, and then I don't know, I'll find something else to do on the screen. And I'm not against screen time. Like, I mean, you use it for what it's good for, use it for what makes you happy, but also like I try and spend not my entire day on a screen. So
yeah,
it's tricky. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we figured it out. I may have drawn this comparison before, but I think technology can be compared to synthesizers in the 80s, where the technology evolved beyond our ability to control it, and it started like doing weird things, and then like finally, around 1990, we finally figured out how to kind of rein it in. So,
yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe there's a grunge revolution of technology that will overtake us at some point in the next couple of years.
So
who
flip
knows?
Phones are totally coming back.
Totally. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Flannel shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Flip phones and flip phones.
With a special pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else people should know? You mentioned an event coming up in March.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm super
totally
excited
plug
for
this.
It. Yes. I will totally plug this. On Thursday, March 27th, we are going to be holding Saddle Speed Dating. At Gladys Bikes.
That's right.
Yeah, speed dating. So what we mean by that is we're all going to be there in the shop that day inviting 12 people to come to sign up in advance to try out a bunch of saddles that night to find the one of their dreams. And then Natalie Ramsland, who's the frame builder for Sweet Pea Bicycles and also our in-house bicycle fitter, is going to be there to be giving free bicycle saddle fits to people, just quick 10-minute fits to make sure that it's at the right height, that it's at the right position on the bike, and then people ride away hopefully feeling wonderful.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
That's fabulous.
Love
when
matches.
Was that again?
What's that?
When was that again?
Thursday, March 27th. Thursday.
Okay, excellent. So if you're in town, you need a saddle, go check it out. And it's space is limited?
Space
does
is
it
limited.
Cost anything?
It does not cost anything.
Okay, it's a free event.
Yeah, check us out on Facebook for the details. That'll be more soon.
Yeah, and that's Gladys Bikes right up on Williams and North Williams. And is it Peach?
Failing. Yeah.
Guess who's failing? Me. Yeah. All right. North Williams and failing. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And
thanks to you guys.
It's GladysBikes.com, right?
Yes.
All right. Go check it out.
I didn't talk about the epitome of laziness.
Do you want to talk about that now?
I could. Are you going to do some music or should I just...
Fuck it. I'm going to...
Okay.
We should give it some silence, though, so I can edit this into a nice, clean little transition.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. We are back. Holy shit, are we back. Yeah. So we did not talk about this earlier, but you mentioned that there was a notable occasion in your life.
In a way, I'm glad that Leah's not in the room. So I don't know. Like,
it's easier not to share this with her.
I mean, she's going to listen to the show anyways,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
But something about a female not being in the room as I share a story about my underwear makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sorry, ladies. I'm still working through some sexism.
So, your underwear.
underwear. So, here's the epitome of laziness,
yes.
Right? It's when, like, you know, there's one level of lazy where you're just too lazy to, like, do, like, what you should be doing or, like, doing any work.
Okay. I'm familiar with this.
You know, like, this table, for example, like, I just don't want to clear it right now.
Right. Which is most of the week for me.
You know, and that's not terrible. It's kind of lazy when, like, there's nothing else to do. or there's nothing else going on, you should be just doing some chores or whatever.
That's what's wrong with my life. I was actually thinking about that this morning. I could wash dishes or I could watch Star Trek.
Whoops.
I watched Star Trek while I was doing my budget.
Which was determined, which series was the best?
Deep Space Nine, I believe, at the Fun Employment Radio listener party. No, we went to it on Saturday night. It was great. I got to see all of my podcasting heroes in one place.
Right.
Got to drink some beers. Yeah, it was great.
You even got to talk to one of your podcasts.
I got to shake the hand of news god Tim Riley, yes.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And he's still like using public transit, too?
Well, maybe. I
he was at least walking towards a bus station, or bus stop.
I was thinking that late at night, he must have driven or had someone drive him. Right. I'm sure he owns a car. But no, he was famous for dashing out like at the end of the show, no matter what was happening. Like he would do his thing, be done, gone on the max, going back to the west side. So, but yes, this is a laundry issue.
So anyways, so laziness.
Laundry issue for you.
Laundry. I was done with my work, so to speak, at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
That night, speaking of the Fun Employment Radio party.
Yeah.
That party starts at 9. I was going to meet you guys like around 8:30-ish.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So I've basically got from 6 to 8 free to
do stuff.
Do my laundry.
Of course, yes.
And what did I do? What did I not do?
Your laundry?
My laundry.
Okay.
What I did do was sit around and watch TV with my housemates.
Well, there you go. That's important. It's like,
community
building.
Right. There is some, unconscious bonding that's going on as we all hang out and watch this screen.
Sure. What did you watch?
That's the worst part. Okay. I don't even remember.
Oh, well, in that case, never mind.
Did we even get beyond just choosing what to watch?
Well, sometimes you don't. And that's community building. That's the hard work that goes into making
But in the meantime,
a household of people get along.
It wasn't like, I should really do this laundry. I have to do laundry or I don't have clean underwear the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can go a couple of days depending on one's comfort. You could go a couple of days.
And, yeah.
Well, I was already at my limit with this pair and it was my last pair.
Yeah. Did you do the inside out trick?
I don't like to do that.
Okay, I did that for the first time last week, actually.
It just makes the stink that was already on the inside. Like, now it's on my jeans.
Okay, yeah.
The whole point of my underwear is, like, it's a barrier between...
It's a puffer zone, yeah.
Yes, it's exactly.
That's why mine's made of plastic. Right. It's not.
No. Well, polyfibers.
Oh, sure, I guess you're right.
Anyhow, so instead of actually doing my laundry, I sat around and watched TV. But still conscious of the fact that I need underwear for the next day.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
And maybe I could have, like, gone that morning and rode my bike to whatever or, like, did my laundry that morning. But there's something about, like, waking up and showering.
Sure. Like, it's the morning ritual for many of us.
Yeah, yeah. Even if I, like, lay in bed for, like, an hour or two just... staring at the ceiling or reading.
Right.
Once I'm out of bed, I want to be in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? Not my laundry. I go to an unnamed corporate store.
Right. Which we could not possibly endorse or condone because that would be,
I buy underwear so I don't have to do my laundry.
Yes, yes. And I think I made the comment, this is like Andy Griffith borrowing dishes from the neighbors because all of his are dirty. He can't be bothered to wash them. That's what happens when Aunt B goes out for a weekend. Opie, go ask for some dishes. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, there's an epilogue to this.
Okay.
That happened today.
Epilogue up.
Yes. So I bought a pair and I ventured out. I went beyond my regular normal brand and make. Because I'm always open to
yes.
I haven't found like the one yet.
Mm-hmm. You have.
Yeah. So, I got a brand that I didn't normally wear and this type that I didn't normally wear.
Yeah.
I bought two boxes.
Okay.
Each with two.
They came
in
boxes.
Them. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Of course they come in boxes because everything has to be packaged to hell.
Right. Right.
anyways. I did not like them.
Oh.
But of course, you know, I already had one on. Can't really return this box, but I kept that second box and I returned that today.
Oh, okay. Right. But you have your stopgap undies.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
And returned the others today because, yeah.
Well, that's credit for some soda.
Uncomfortable undies. There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy a Coke now.
The entire story has been redeemed. Well, hey, how about some headlines?
How about some headlines?
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight.
If this is not your favorite blog, listeners, it should be.
It's a pretty good blog.
From the Diamond Cut Life, I don't read this enough because I haven't read this one.
Former show guest Allison Wiley.
Tips for riding Amtrak in inner city bus enjoyability. Wait, no, I did read this one. Okay.
that's enjoyably. So if you ride it and you want it to be good,
oh,
you should read this article.
Yes. And I should learn to read. Why choose Amtrak or inner city bus over plane or car travel? Bullet points.
Yes.
These are not numbered. You will not have to partially disrobe in front of hundreds of people.
Right.
Bonus. You will not have to surrender your favorite cosmetics or liquids to gain access to the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You are helping the planet by burning less fossil fuels.
Indeed.
No extra charges for checked baggage. Amtrak allows two pieces, maximum 50 pounds each. By the way, if you're carrying 100
pounds
than,
of luggage,
more than 100 pounds of luggage,
yeah,
that's not travel, that's moving.
Yeah.
Better nature watching. That's
yes.
true. Like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I've done
that. I mean,
that.
Clouds are nice and all,
mm-hmm.
but that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Right. Nothing but clouds for like 6 hours or however long you're flying. Yeah.
You will not depreciate your car at those god-awful rates that even AAA publicizes. If you don't have a car, clever you.
Clever you.
You have much less chance of being maimed, killed, or even mildly shaken up by a car crash. You have a much better chance of meeting interesting people.
Yes, you do.
And then bullet point C, when cars are like condoms or... why I love transit for further reasons.
Yes. Yeah, and then later on in this article, she spends a lot of time writing about if you happen to be a lady and you're riding transit or you're riding Amtrak, I suppose this would work on transit as well, but what do you do if you are the recipient of unwelcome advances and quite a bit of wonderfully thought out ideas of how to deflect with while also having a good time with it. I think that's the thing. Like, it's like, you don't have to just be like, you're creepy, go away. You can...
although sometimes that can work.
Sometimes. I mean, I think of that as kind of the last resort because, you don't want to be like closed off to new experiences. But also,
that's
if the new experiences are creepy, you can kind of like deflect them, but not like in an angry way, just like a, yeah.
All right. You've heard it here. New Sprocket Podcast Contest. Only
right.
for the ladies.
Yes.
Only for the ladies.
All right.
I want to hear the funniest anecdote of deflecting unwanted attention from the men.
Does this have to be on transit? Okay.
On transit or Amtrak? Nah, I'll open it up to any kind of like mass form of transportation.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, during travel, not like just sitting at a bar.
And I tell you what, I have a copy of Ellie Blue's zine, Bike Sexuality, here, which I have read, and it's not as salacious as it sounds, I suppose, but we will give that out to whoever wins this contest.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you're lucky, maybe Aaron will make you a shirt.
Ask Johnny K. They're awesome. Poor.
It comes with authentic coffee stains. Yeah. But again, yeah, Allison Wiley's Diamond Cut Life is pretty phenomenal. A lot about it's about the precision of a diamond's cut when you're making decisions about how you will live your own life. So, great spot. Well, hey, how about
that
some
mail?
That
was our only headline, so.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Mail?
Some mail.
Shall we? Are you sure?
Why not?
All right. Let's do mail.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail. Wait a minute. That's the original cut.
You know, it really is. In that case.
We got mail. And I'm realizing, like,
bam,
I'm suddenly much more self-conscious about that now that I know that this is being broadcasted.
Oh no, we'll see. The mail may or may not make it to the air. We'll find out.
Well, that's good. It probably won't.
You know, probably not.
Anyways, Christina writes in to let us know about free legal clinics for bicyclists hosted by the BTA and law firm Swanson Thomas Kuhn and Newton. The dates are March 26th, May 21st, June 25th, August 27th, and November 19th from 6 to 7 at BTA headquarters, 618 Northwest Gleason Street, number 401 in downtown Portland.
And that's 6 to 7 p.m., so everybody should be able to make
it.
Yeah,
I didn't say p.m. Yeah,
no, it's cool, unless you work in the service industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will cover Oregon bicycle and pedestrian laws, insurance policy coverage, and what to do if you're in a crash. All attendees receive a free copy of attorney Ray Thomas's book, Pedal Power, A Legal Guide for Oregon Cyclists.
So you could be in the know.
Yeah. Didn't say in the mail, but I'm assuming there's probably some kind of admission or no?
No, I believe they are free.
Oh.
Yeah, these are free legal clinics, so that if you don't know how to ride your bicycle legally.
It does say in the mail. No, I even read that.
You will learn for free how to be a legal bicyclist.
I kind of want to go to this.
Yeah, we like legal bicyclists. They're good people. Yeah, and actually, while I'm thinking about lawyers, our friend Josh from Boston did have those cards printed up, the Bike Safe Boston, Bike Safe Portland, and Bike Safe include your municipality here. We have the Portland versions here in Portland, and if you would like one, it's just a little spot to write down your information in case of a crash. They're free. We'll get them to you. Write to us, thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Next, Johnny K says of last week's show, Bojun, I am definitely going to recommend your website to my daughters and any woman that I meet that asks me about writing.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, Johnny K was the one that wrote in like a year ago with his question about, like, my wife doesn't like bicycling as much
as I do.
And I didn't realize it, but actually last week's episode is probably the best one to kind of answer that question. Like, you know, it addresses some of the concerns that women might have about bicycling. And I suppose this week's show with Leah as well. So
yeah. And speaking of Johnny K, news.
Good old Johnny K.
Thank you so much, Johnny K. Also now our monthly donor.
That's right.
And another monthly donor.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for writing in all the. You're like our most regular writer.
Definitely.
As well.
Feedback is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it's just awesome and humbling that people think this is worth paying for. I'm glad. Don't get me
wrong.
Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's...
Well, and let me share too that we just reached with monthly donations, we reached the coverage limit of all of our web hosting. So as long as everyone who signed up to give money gives money, we can offer this podcast in perpetuity. So we really appreciate those people. It means that the things that come out of our pocket will be like hospitality things and, like, you know, new equipment and that sort of thing. The show hosting is coming directly from you, the listener. So thank you so much. Logan.
Logan,
Katharina,
and Shadowfoot.
And Shadowfoot, also known as Shadow Fox. Not really known as Shadow Fox, only Shadowfoot.
Only when we make that mistake.
You know.
But yeah, thank you guys so much.
Seriously, we appreciate it beyond words.
We do this podcast for you.
We do it for you.
And it is your podcast.
Yeah,
now,
most definitely.
In a way.
Yeah.
And in a very real way, this is your podcast.
Totally, yeah. And I suppose while we're talking about money, if anybody else that has not yet become a regular donor wants to, we are looking into the possibility of an actual studio as opposed to my living room. And, you know, we're always looking for ways to expand both our offerings and the ability for other people to offer things as well. We don't have any details we can share publicly, of course, but I've been in talks.
We also don't have any totes to give away either.
We don't have tote bags, but you could make one.
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Sign up now. Aaron will make you a tote bag in permanent marker.
And coffee stains.
Not available in all areas.
Let's get on with the mail.
Right. But just to say that, like, yeah, there's some other things in the works. And if you like what we're doing, we know some other people that also want to do some shows that you might like as well. And we're working on some possibilities to get all of those, more voices to you. So anyways, thank you so much, everybody, for your support. We really appreciate it.
And next, Jamie. Loved the interview with Bojan. I'm a new cyclist, and I avoided cycling for the exact reasons she mentioned. About a dozen years ago, I tried to incorporate bicycling when I didn't have a car to get to work. On the first day, I had a near miss with a careless car. Then, I then thought that it was just too annoying to bike to work because I couldn't wear my normal clothing. So that ended that, and I went back to the bus, not getting on a bike again until last year. One day I saw the Cycle Chic book at my doctor's office and thought, wow, people are wearing normal clothing and look like they're having fun. I suddenly figured out why all those Danish people wear normal clothing with step-through frames, fenders, and chain guards. So I jumped on the Dress for Your Destination bandwagon and hopped on my new bike. Too much of the biking messaging is for exercisers or the aspiring racers, and this doesn't resonate with everybody. In order to increase the number of people cycling, we need to keep in mind that not all messages resonate with everyone and change the messaging. Oh, and more entertainment from the space bike comment thread on episode 165.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's just good, clean fun. Go check it out. Yeah. You know, I also just realized as I was looking at some things here on my device that that phone that rang at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
It was the Community Cycling Center.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, apparently so. I think they have a new board member, and that's all I could tell from the Google Voice transcription. So I need to find out what she has to say. But
yeah,
anyways. So it kind of fits, I guess.
I didn't know. Were you expecting a call from the Community Cycling Center?
I was not.
That's a weird thing.
Not at all.
We're looking for Leah Benson.
But yeah, exactly.
We need her to volunteer again.
So we probably should have picked it up.
Whoops.
Maybe I'll do that next time.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's been a good show. Should we close out?
Yeah, I guess we should. Okay.
It's so sad whenever it happens.
It's one of those things. Oh, and it's also one of those things that I need to bring up on the show notes again.
All right.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a message or text us at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Thanks to Herbert for our headline sounder. And thanks for our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katrina Mellengard, and Johnny K.
We appreciate it. Hey, you should go get your saddle fit to you and stuff.
Speed saddle dating.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we don't have to be. I was gonna put some music underneath it.
Okay. I've done these breaks so rarely. I haven't figured out a smooth transition.
No, it's
back
it's
in.
Okay. That was a good one. That's what I would have done. I mean, maybe we should just do it that way, so I could mix the music, and then I could cut whatever I need to cut like some other time. Except, we have so much time to fill.
Really?
Yeah.
For the show? Like radio?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
It was a pretty short interview.
I guess it was.
Yeah.
I thought it just went by fast, because we were so, I don't know. There was, a lot of chemistry.
We're having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, also, it was, we did not bullshit up front. A Sprocket Studios production.